Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My liturgy professor would be shocked to be playing in the baptismal font. But what else would you be doing there? That's where God plays. So often our religion is reduced to a kind of mechanical relationship. Often we sort of see our religion and we come to religion at one level where you just go there to get forgiveness and, you know, you confess and you forgive, it's all taken care of, it's all great. There's a kind of mechanic to it that belies the deeper stuff. Now, most of you, maybe not all of you, but most of you at one time were baptized. Have you really thought much about it since? Yeah, the Lutheran pastor in the back row has and his family. Oh, yes, every day. But most of us, you know, baptism is something that got done, and now we're getting on with the rest of our lives. We don't think much about it. We have a wonderful story in Acts today where Paul is in Ephesus, and he goes to some people who were believers, and he asks them a really good question. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? And I was stunned to hear them reply, we have not even heard of the Holy Spirit. They were the first Lutherans. And he says, into what then were you baptized? Well, into the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance. The mechanics of it seemed so clear. Well, we repent and then God loves us. Or we repent and then we can get on with what we were doing before we repented. It's just mechanics. But Paul has the temerity to suggest that there might be something more. He tells them about the Holy Spirit, and he baptizes them into that Holy Spirit, and then everything changes for them. Suddenly, they are prophesying and speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit has gotten a hold of them and moves them in ways that they never expected. The Holy Spirit is like that. So often what we look for in our religious lives and our lives of faith is a kind of order and surety and reassurance. I once had a parishioner tell me, you know, I come to church to be comforted. And I thought to myself, well, that's a shame. That sometimes happens, and God bless us when it does, but sometimes church is anything but comfortable. You see, the Holy Spirit, when we take baptism and God's movement into our lives, if we really believe that that Spirit descends for us in baptism, suddenly an element of uncertainty and surprise gets introduced into our lives. You see, the Spirit moves where it will and moves you where she will. And regrettably, it's not always where you want to go. Recently, you may have read in the paper about a sailor named Ira. Ira sailed from Guam over to Kauai, hung around for a while. And then he thought, well, I need to end up in Oahu to do some boat repairs. And so he set off from Kauai to Oahu. It's only, 110 miles. Should be pretty easy. And then they lost him. 4 days after he was supposed to arrive, it's only a 12-hour journey, they sent out the Coast Guard after him. And they searched, and they searched, they searched 250,000 square miles for Ira. Finally, they called off the search. And if you know anything about search and rescue, when the Coast Guard gives up, you're usually dead. Or at least they never hear from you again. Well, one day, Ira's wife gets a call on her cell phone. And he says, well, I'm over on the Big Island. And she says, what? Ira wasn't lost. Ira was just 200 miles further south than he was supposed to be, because that's where the wind took him, on an unexpected journey. In a way, that's what the Spirit can be doing for us. When the Spirit comes into our life and into our faith, God can take us to places we just never could imagine. Look what's happened in the Lutheran Church over the last 100 years. Do you think our good German and Norwegian and Swedish people thought we would ever be bringing the word to them foreigners or to gay people? Or that one day women would serve in the clergy? Could they ever imagine the way the Spirit would work in God's church? Probably not. You see, the Spirit takes us where we don't expect to go, but where God draws us. And it's all a matter of our baptism. You see, we can't just be baptized and forget about it, because when we've been received in water and word and promise, God sets for us a vocation that is our life, our whole life. You've been set on a journey, a baptismal journey that begins in the moment that God says, I love you, and will not end until the last day. I don't know where that journey is taking you yet, but your work and your love, your every breath and every moment is rooted and begins in that vocation, your baptismal life. So you see, your faith cannot be reduced to a simple mechanical relationship where you ask for forgiveness and God gives it, and then you get on with whatever you were doing anyway. The Spirit intercedes and blows us where it will, draws us to new places, and calls us to new vocations. Martin Luther bade us every morning to swing our legs off of our bed and make the sign of the cross on our brow to remember that we are the baptized and loved children of God. And you'll see that some of us, when we walk into the church, we put our fingers into the baptismal font. Remember, the old days, you'd never touch the baptismal font. Only the pastor does that. But every morning here, people will take and put water on their forehead and remember to whom they belong and what their vocation is. And I give that gift to each of you, that you make the sign of the cross and remember what Jesus heard that day. You are my child. And then be opened to what the Spirit will do in you this day. Where will you be blown? How will you be led? And how will you live out your vocation as God's beloved, baptized child? Amen.